sports is really important to you, it's all we do all the time. Proud to serve the best fans in Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. One hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
For the final time this season, welcome to the program. Hockey Central at Noon's final program for this part of 2015. Then it will ramp up again in a couple of months. We break for the summer after today's show, and obviously we'll be all over anything on the morning show and on the big show with Rob and I. But in terms of this program itself, this one-hour extravaganza, Hockey Central at Noon comes to an end today. Starting Monday, Baseball Central occupies this spot with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We'll have you covered all things Blue Jays, all things Major League Baseball, and looking forward to returning with Hockey Central at Noon after Labor Day weekend here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan is a couple months away from starting to preview the 2015-2016 season. But we welcome you into this final edition of the program this season. My name is Pat Steinberg on a beautiful Stampede First Friday in downtown Calgary. Got an opportunity to walk to work. I live downtown. I live right on the parade route, so got my parade fixed today. It was pretty cool. I'm looking forward to Stampede 2015. Also looking forward to welcoming in the most fitting guest on our final program of the year. I don't know if there's a more fitting guest then Peter Labardius, who's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Lou was on the very first show of this season. He's going to be on the very last show of the season. I feel like it's only fitting.
Are you kidding me?
The color voice of the Calgary Flames going to join us in just a few minutes. Also looking forward to chatting with Mason McDonald at 12:30. The 2014 second round pick of the Flames signed his entry level contract yesterday. So Mason McDonald coming up at 12:30 this afternoon here on Hockey Central at Noon. Really did. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of just how strong a season he had with Charlottetown in the QMJHL. It's a strong season that earned him the opportunity to come to the World Junior Development Camp this summer. It's an opportunity that earned him a real look by Hockey Canada. I have a feeling that, you know, we'd be talking more about him had he not gotten injured in the postseason for Charlottetown. So, yeah, looking forward to talking to Mason McDonald at 12:30, looking back on the season that was for him. All right, news of the day around the National Hockey League. In the least surprising news of the week, the Edmonton Oilers have signed Connor McDavid to his entry-level contract. The number one overall pick hasn't even been officially an Oiler for a week. He was drafted just under a week ago. Remember, it was last Friday night that he officially became an Oiler and gets drafted, does all his obligations. Today signs a max ELC, and I mean, let's be honest, he can only go so far on an entry-level contract, so his base salary is the max, and the bonus structure is the max, and it's the biggest number one overall pick in a long, long time. Remember, Jack Eichel signed his entry-level contract earlier this week, exact same contract terms. It's not quite like the NFL, and it's not you know exactly like the structure that it works in the NFL and stuff like that. Entry level contracts have got their cap, and that's why the contracts of McDavid and Eichel are going to look exactly the same. Lou, if you want to give Lou a call right now, he just texted me right now. Labardius is in Ontario. He was on the GO train, and he jumped off the GO train so we could call him. So I figure we might as well call him right away just so that he doesn't feel grumpy that he had to jump off the train and we don't call him. Other news today, Dave Nonis back in the NHL. He joins the fold with the Anaheim Ducks as a special assistant scout and consultant to GM Bob Murray. So not that long removed from being fired as GM of the Maple Leafs. We know that Dave Nonis is back in the National Hockey League as well. Free agency news. Here's what we know. It's been pretty quiet over the last couple of days. The Blues have made a couple of moves. They signed Kyle Brodziak to a one-year deal at $900,000. They signed RFA goaltender Jake Allen to a two-year extension. As Will told you in the update, Andrew Desjardins re-signs with the Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. And former Flames draft pick John Ramage, not out of work for all that long. Ramage does not get qualified by the Flames a few days ago. On Monday, he wasn't qualified, and today, John Ramage signs a one-year, two-way deal with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So, John Ramage, not out of work for all that long. He signs a one-year deal with Columbus today. So, who's still out there in free agency? Well, I still believe that Cody Franson is the belle of the ball when it comes to this year's free agency. But here we are into day three, and he still hasn't signed. So Cody Franson still out there. Cup champion Johnny Oduya still out there. Christian Ehrhoff still out there. Up front, guys like Chris Stewart, Joel Ward, Curtis Glencross. So still some pretty decent names in free agency. We'll keep our eye on that over the next little while. We'll see if there's any traction over the weekend as well. Okay, my name is Pat Steinberg, the final Hockey Central at Noon for this season. And as we said, there's only one gentleman who would be fitting on a program like today. He was on our first Hockey Central at Noon program going all the way back to September. That's 10 months ago that we kicked off this program. And now on the final program of the season before we break for July and August, Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, jumped off a GO train so he could talk to us and talk to you. What a committed gentleman. I didn't even know he was doing mornings this week until yesterday. Still has time for us. Lou, you're a gentleman and a scholar.
Well, this is my segment. This is my show. You're my people.
Exactly.
Of course I have time for you. And I'm at Mimico Station. And Mimico is the home of Dave Boland and Brendan Shanahan, in case anybody is wondering. So, you know, I thought I'd tie it in. Now, I had it all set up today, but the truth of the matter is a little story. As you know, my significant other, Nancy, for those who don't know, she is a sign language interpreter. And today she was doing some work for the executive member. He's been the general manager of Canada's deaf hockey team for years and years. So we had a little impromptu meeting. It was great to get together with Roy and meet him for the first time. And he mentioned that, you know, it's always a struggle, unfortunately, for that program to get funds and try and make their way to the respective world championships where Canada lost last year in Russia. So anyway, a little backstory of that. And I thought I'd give the deaf hockey program a little bit of a shout out because they deserve it.
Absolutely. So that's what you were doing this afternoon where you are. That's what you were doing, hey?
Yes.
Very nice. Well, that's very cool. And that's cool that Nance has got that tie-in like that. So that's mm-hmm. very cool. And for the record, Lou's significant other is pretty cool lady. So I just
yeah, she's all right. I keep her.
You like her.
Why she keeps me is what I don't really understand.
I'd keep you too, Lou.
Okay. Let's talk hockey, shall we?
It's been a busy stretch here for the Flames, hasn't
yeah.
it? Like, since last Friday, it feels like it was like a month ago, but it was only a week ago when this whole torrid pace started. Dougie Hamilton acquired, trade up, Oliver Shillington picked, Dougie Hamilton signed, Michael Frolik signed, Kari Ramo re-signed. Like, it has been nonstop for the Calgary Flames over the last week.
Well, I have been really, really envious. It's, you know, it's great to have a break, but in the last week, it's been difficult to be away from the action. It's always hard for me not to be at the draft, for starters, but I really was missing it more than ever in terms of being on the ground on July the 1st. You know, it just, I thought July 1st was so interesting and intriguing, and to sit and listen to Brad on television as opposed to being right there, and kind of felt too far removed. But you're right. It's been quite a time for the team going back to the acquisition for those three draft picks of a core piece. I've talked about it on the radio the last couple of mornings with Mr. Pinder. But for this organization to address a need, Pat, and end up with a 22-year-old defenseman who just turned 22, as you know, 42 points, right-handed, 6'5", to grow with this young core group. I just think that's maybe as good a move, in my estimation, as anybody has made to this point in the offseason. And I wanted to have an opportunity. I thought you guys actually might call on July 1st, so I'm glad we're getting the chance today, because I thought of you immediately after the Frolik news broke.
Yeah.
And I love when we go back and forth on certain things, and I haven't had a chance to get your take necessarily, but my take is, and I don't think you'll be surprised on Frolik, because you know how much I covet people that I think you can win with. And that's why I really like this signing. You know, I've heard his last two coaches just absolutely rave about him. And in hockey, the T word, the trust word, is so, so important. You can move Michael up and down your lineup. I think he really fills a need for this team on the one side of the ice, being on the right wing side, that this team needed to address. So there you address that. You address it with somebody who I thought was an integral part of the Jet season the last 2 years. Certainly probably didn't get the proper, if you will, pump up for what he did in Chicago's run in 2013 to the Stanley Cup title. So I really applaud the move, even though, and I would get, because, you know, my eyebrows even were raised a little bit in terms of, you know, not term, but maybe money.
Right.
But when you're in that kind of competition, you have to pay. And the other part of it is, for me, that I think it's fantastic that someone of this ilk, and says a lot about where the Flames are going as a franchise, that he chose Calgary. You know, I don't think that can get lost in that transaction either. So, yeah, in terms of those two things in particular, I really feel like the team has really done an amazing job addressing some key needs. And now, and it's probably where you're going to go next, but, you know, we do all the preseason games as well, and who knows what's going to happen in camp.
Yeah.
Pat, when was the last time, and you're a great guy, you know, a historian, you're a Calgarian, you know, you go a long way back with the team and have such a great memory and recollection. But this camp, if nothing changes, and I still think it will in terms of moves, I mean, look what you've got on defense. What are the decisions you're going to make there? Who's going to play with who?
Yeah.
Are you going to potentially make some moves? You've got three goalies on one-way deals. And then by the time the RFAs get dealt with, I mean, look at those battles for competition. So it's fun. It's a fun time to be around this team.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the last time that I can remember this, I can't remember.
Yeah, I believe that.
I can't remember going into a year. And there's lots that could happen between now and September, but I can't remember going into a year with this much competition basically everywhere. Like that,
yes.
Everywhere. Blue line, in net. There's right now, Lou, I count 17 forwards that all believe they could be NHLers next year. Like all of a sudden, if you're Josh Juris, if you're Marcus Granlund, if you're, you know, Drew Shore, you're like, holy cow, I got to bust my hump at training camp just to be on this team.
And I'm going to go back to a conversation that we had, and now I get to do it with you instead of just talking about a conversation with you. Do you remember what you asked me last September in regards to what I was hoping for out of the Flames season?
So last September, you would have said, I want to
see... You go ahead.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said, I want to see the key players on this team, the progression of those key players, the results almost secondary. I want to see the important pieces that are going to be long-term members of this team really take steps and noticeably progress. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are. And the one caveat I would add to it is I said, I want to see this organization continue to have more NHL-ready players. And forget about wins and losses, forget about the playoff, and don't get me wrong, that's all very important, and I think really, really important in how do you make a move for Dougie Hamilton? How does Michael Frolik decide on Calgary? So I'm not trying to, you know, diminish. That was huge for this organization. Huge that they turned all that great work into a playoff spot and even a first-round playoff win over Vancouver. But you get better because you have more NHL assets at your disposal.
Right.
And it was funny, I interviewed our good friend Wes Gilbertson on the radio yesterday morning, and I'll say this to you in return. Think about the kind of conversations that we were having, not necessarily last year at camp, but the year before. And think about how much things have changed in the organization in terms of, you know, back then, Pat, it was like, who's going to play?
Yeah.
Where are we going to find centermen? Like this, there's a lot of work here to be done. To now, going off of what you just said, now, you know, a year and a half later, if you will, you've got really good battles everywhere. And you've already taken big steps.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, Lou. And it's Peter Labardius is with us, by the way, here on Hockey Central at noon. It's our final show of the year, so I figure why not get our favorite guest on the air with us. Because for me, I completely agree, and that's why, you know, the Michael Frolik deal, that's a deal that I really like. A 5-year deal for a 27-year-old forward. The cap hit may be a little bit higher than otherwise, but $4.3 million in free agency isn't crazy. That's a guy who I think fits anywhere in your top nine. On the Frolik front for me, and this won't surprise you, like as it didn't surprise me that you were talking about the winning side of things. I also saw you put that on Twitter, so I was like, yeah, I know where Lou's thinking. Here's what I really like about Frolik: strong two-way player, and I love the potential for a Michael Backlund, Michael Frolik pairing, because I think those two could be absolutely huge in the two-way shutdown game for the Flames.
And who knows where it goes? You know, the great thing is the Flames have just so many more options now at their disposal. Depending on the progression of Sam Bennett, are they going to use him at center? Is he going to play on the wing? You know, does Sam Bennett end up with Michael Frolik? And then, you know, you want to talk about potential for shutdown. You're right. Probably you might want to go Backlund, Bulma, and Frolik if you want to go in that direction. But the great thing is there's lots of different options. You know, if you want to put Frolik up a little bit high, not higher on the depth chart, because you know what? I heard Brad Treliving say this, and I'm such a big proponent, and it comes from a lot of people. You know that sometimes, I wouldn't say tick, but I never like to look at a team and go, this is line one, and you know this because you hear it all the time. I'm not a big proponent always of saying, well, this is your first line, second, third, and fourth, because I think all your lines like give you something different. But it's fantastic because you have some time to find some chemistry and you've got options, and that's what you want. You want good options and you want to get better.
Options and flexibility, like those are the words that good teams throw out, and those are the things that good teams have. Well, now the Flames have got that in every position right now. Like they can turn guys that we wouldn't have thought of. As assets before, they can turn them into assets. All of a sudden, they have an ability to deal from a position of strength in the blue line. They have an ability to deal from a position of strong numbers up front, and that they've got options in net. Like these are things that you want to have as an organization trying to take another step.
Well, that's how you win. That's how you win. Look at what happened even, in most recent times. Did Bob Murray's moves, like, at the deadline and how he kind of reconfigurated or added to the depth of the Anaheim defense not make a huge difference in their run?
Absolutely it did.
Absolutely. And again, how did it set his team up, going forward? And that's what you're really trying to do. That's what the best teams have. They draft, they develop really well, they make good signings. And I don't think this can be lost, Pat. I really don't. You want to create strong competition in your group because I believe that brings out the best in people. When you go to work every day and you feel like somebody else can take your minutes, that can only make you better. And that's been a big part of the culture change with the Flames. Even before we're at a place now where we're talking about maybe 17 forwards and who's going to play with who, do you have room money-wise and who's going to slot properly on defense and where do you go next there? Are you going to move a goalie? So, yeah, that to me is all about progression. Now, it doesn't guarantee even that the team's going to do what they did last year on the ice.
Yeah.
But it's all about sticking to the plan and continuing to put yourself in a position to be a really good team. And the progression over the last couple of years is pretty incredible to look back, even, like I said, to not last September, but the September before.
He is Peter Labardius joining us here on the program. He's the color voice of the Flames. Okay, so I know it's early, and we'll probably have this conversation again when we're talking again in September on the first show of next season. But what are realistic expectations for next year? They get to round two of the playoffs. They do so many good things this year. It was such a dream season in so many different ways. I think we both agree they're significantly better with the last week with Hamilton and Frolik into the fold than they were to end last season. So are your expectations based on standings? Are they based on wins and losses? Are they based on how far they go in the playoffs? Like, what are expectations for you very early for next season?
Do you know what my expectation is? And it's hard to define, but I'm going to try the best to explain it that I can. I think there's lots of different steps on the way. And here's what I'm trying to put forth, and I don't want people to take it the wrong way. But I want this team to, every time you face, you know, a Chicago, a St. Louis, an Anaheim, where you go into those games and you truly feel like the Flames are going to come away with 2 points. And I hope I'm not, I'm hope that I'm making myself clear. It's not that they haven't been able to do that before, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I want to see this team take another step to the point where, okay, now teams really pencil the Flames in. This is a hard out for anybody, and they've become that way. But the interesting thing about this year to me is not maybe to answer it this way, what your expectations, what my expectations are. Sure, we'd love them to go to another round. Wouldn't that be great? Or even, you know, around after that. I mean, this team is trying to put themselves in a position at some point here in the next few years to really win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But I want to see how this group manages brand new expectations. How they now, I think for the first time in 3 years, nobody's taking the Flames lightly anymore on their dance card. This has become a good team. And if you talk to coaches as I did and GMs, you know, on, you know, when we're on the road, they know what the Flames were all about. But now this is a team with more confidence. It has more belief. It has more pieces. But then the balancing factor is they're also going to have more expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's a very fair point. How do they go about dealing with that? And I'll be very curious about that. Although, I got to say, I'm quite excited. I think that my outlook is very much positive for next year. I think this team's got a potential to do some really nice things next year.
And I guess maybe if I could quantify it properly, I think you've moved yourself into a different place when, by and large, and things happen, right? The LA Kings did not make the postseason this year. But where I'd love to see the Flames get, and I think they're getting very close to that, is that you go into the year not thinking about just making the playoffs, Pat, but what you might be able to do because of who you have when you get there. And I think those are two different things. I don't know if you agree or disagree,
mm-hmm.
but I think those are two different things. We don't ever think that the Chicago Blackhawks aren't going to be in the playoffs.
That's right.
And yet there's still work to be done.
Yeah. Sounds like a train's about to leave where you are.
It is, and I need to be on this one.
Are you getting on right now?
Yeah, I'm going to try, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, then
hopefully it's not as busy as the last one.
Here.
We'll be able to chat, and, you know, as long as I don't get sconded by the GO Train police, we'll be good.
Well, here, I'll ask you one more question then, and then you can GO Train with peace. What are you watching for the rest of the summer? Like, what's number one on your radar? Is it Geo's extension? Is it Boma's potential next deal? Is it more trades? What's on your radar right now for the rest of the summer when it comes to the Flames?
Well, it's hard not to think about the potential extension of the captain. I think it's going to get done. I'm just really fascinated by what it looks like when it does get done. Lance Boma's scenario is really intriguing to me. Again, it's going to get done, but what's it going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the terms going to be? How long is it going to be for? Because you know how I really value this guy. And I guess number three on that list, you know, in terms of those players, is Paul Byron. What happens there? I don't think there's any question that Bob Hartley and his staff is a huge fan.
Yeah, they
but
trust
where does
him.
He fit? Does he have a fit?
Yeah.
And then lastly, Pat, on that account, if I can, is you have three goalies on one-way deals. I don't see that lasting forever. And I think there's some real opportunity for this team because of its assets, because of what we've addressed. I think this summer could still contain some move that is going to help them get even better.
Yep. I totally agree. I wholeheartedly agree, my friend. Look, I appreciate you jumping off the train. You didn't have to do that. I appreciate you joining us. I know you've already worked this morning, but I figured, you know what? Last Hockey Central at noon of the season, who better to bring on than the one and only Peter Labardius?
Thank you, pal. Much appreciated. And to all our great listeners and our sponsorship, thank you very much. And Patty, before you know it, we'll be sitting across the table from one another. It's going to happen faster than we both think.
I know, which is why I say make sure you enjoy your summer, my friend. We'll talk to you again really soon, hey?
You too. Take care.
He is Peter Labardius. He's the color voice of the Calgary Flames, joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. And lots to talk about when it comes to the Flames, and I think that we're going to have plenty to talk about as the summer continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But certainly this last week, starting with the Dougie Hamilton acquisition, going to where we are now, it has been crazy. Okay, I see him calling right now. We are going to reset, take a break, come back with Mason McDonald, Calgary's second round pick, and now newly signed to his entry-level contract, Mason McDonald, around the corner. We'll reset and be back in about 90 seconds here on Hockey Central at noon. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, covering the world's fastest game. Home for the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League. This is Hockey Central at Noon with Pat Steinberg on your home of the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Very happy to welcome in our next guest. Yesterday, the Calgary Flames, they continued their run of news items, signed two players to entry-level contracts. Funny enough, they were both second-round picks at the 2014 NHL Draft in Philadelphia. They signed Hunter Smith to his entry-level contract, the Memorial Cup champion, and they signed this gentleman. The first goaltender picked in the 2014 NHL draft was Mason McDonald of the Charlottetown Islanders. He got his entry-level contract yesterday, and he joins us on Hockey Central at noon right now. Mason, thanks so much for doing this, man. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. And Mason coming off a year with the Islanders, 28-22-4, and a really strong year with Charlottetown. Congratulations on your entry-level deal. How's it feel to get it done? Like, does it feel like it's any type of weight off your shoulders or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm definitely really excited. I've been waiting a while, and I'm just glad that it's over with. I was really excited when I signed. Both my parents were there, and it's just a really exciting time.
So it's just this is just your agent, right? Just kind of leave it in his hands, and he gives you a call, and then you come sign it. Is it basically like that?
It's kind of, he did a great job. It was all kind of in his hands. He does all the negotiating and all the talking for that, and He sends me the papers, I sign them and fax them back, and that's kind of how it works.
Well, good, yeah. And I know a lot of people excited to have you into the fold, specifically knowing your last season. I want to get into kind of your season individually, but first of all, just a quick thought on the overall year in Charlottetown. The team finishes second in the division. They end up going to round two of the postseason. Just your overall thought on the year for the Charlottetown Islanders.
I think we had a great year. We started a little slow, and we had a lot of new players coming from different teams, and as the year went on, we just progressed and became more of a family. And by the end of the year, we were pulling together good stretches of wins, and we just got a lot closer. And when we went into the playoffs, we had a lot of confidence, and unfortunately, I got hurt. But the rest of the guys did a great job, and to move on from the first round against Sherbrooke, it was great.
Yeah, you mentioned you got hurt there. Mason McDonald of the Charlottetown Islanders, Flames second-round pick, is with us here on Hockey Central at noon. Yeah, game three of that first-round series against Sherbrooke, that's when it happened. Just give us the overall. So what happened? What was the injury? And give us the details on that if you can.
It was kind of a fluky injury, actually. It was something I was doing 100 times every game. I made a slide from my right to left. I felt my knee pop, and I got back up, tried going down again, and I noticed there was a lot of discomfort. I went off the ice, had it looked at, and that was it. The trainer said I couldn't go back out, and mm-hmm. I was done for the season.
Have you ever had a situation like that where you have to watch your team play for a long period of time and you can't go out there and help them?
Yeah, nothing like that before. It really sucked watching them from the stands. There were some good games, though, that I watched, and they all played great. The other goalie that was in Charlottetown, Darryl, he stood on his head for a few games, and the boys put together a pretty good series win.
Good. Is it a good learning experience, like to try and find something positive in the whole situation, a learning experience for you that you can maybe bank on going forward?
Yeah, I just realized that this is part of the game of hockey. There's going to be injuries. You never know what could happen. You never know if I could get injured again. It could happen to one of my teammates. And and if it did happen to one of them, I'd understand how they're feeling and maybe try and cheer them up at some point.
How is the recovery going right now? Like, how are things moving forward?
Everything's fine. I'm back to 100%.
Okay.
I was at the Hockey Canada goalie camp a few weeks ago, and that's kind of when I first started pushing my knee more, and ever since then it's been fine.
Yeah, I knew you were going to that camp, so I just wanted so that went fine. There was no setbacks. Everything's good.
Yeah, no, everything was great there. I kind of eased myself back into it, and the last few weeks of training and on the ice have been fine.
It's good to hear. Mason McDonald with us of the Charlottetown Islanders joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. Well, there's a lot of positives about this past year. You were named your team's MVP. You had the second best save percentage in the queue. Just your overall regular season, how good did you feel about it?
I felt pretty good about it. I think I definitely improved my game. I think I improved my crease play and how I controlled the pace of the game, how I controlled myself in the net. And allowing less rebounds, playing in my crease, I just think I got a lot better with that. And to get 28 wins and tie the franchise record for that, it was awesome. With a week left in the regular season, I hurt my back, and I wasn't able to try for the franchise lead in that. So I was kind of disappointed about that. But hopefully this year we'll string together over 30 wins as a team and have a good playoff run.
How's the team shaping up for next year?
We're going to have a good team. We just had two guys drafted to the NHL, and a few guys got invites to camp. So we should have a strong team. We have most of the guys back. I think, yeah, it'll be great.
In terms of minutes, I believe you played the fourth most minutes in the entire league this past year over the regular season. And in your junior career, this is the season you've by far played the most. Just how much better do you feel, and just how much easier is it to get into a groove when you're playing basically every single game like you were this year?
Yeah, it was awesome. I just knew going to the rink every day, it was my responsibility to stop the pucks for a good majority of those games. And my confidence just grew as the season went on. I felt more comfortable starting every game, whether it was a 3-3 or two games on the weekend or four games in the week. I felt comfortable going to the rink every day and starting.
So did you have to change your physical approach at all? Like, does it change any of the way you go about your day-to-day business, knowing that you're playing as much as you were this past season?
Not really. You kind of, at some points later in the season, you kind of have to focus more on rest and making sure you're getting the proper amount. You got to make sure you're eating the right things. And I did that, and I felt great.
That mental approach you talked about, was it any, like, the last couple of years, you were with two different teams, and you weren't necessarily the bona fide number one guy. So how are the mental approaches different from the two seasons prior as opposed to this one?
Well, when I was a backup, I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't feel the same. You don't feel like you're the guy, I guess. You're battling for a position behind somebody, and you're just working to try and beat that guy out. And when you're the starter, you're working just as hard. And you know, coming to the rink, you have the confidence of your team. And I guess that's the biggest difference, having the confidence of all the guys, knowing that you're the guy and you can do it for them.
In conversation with Mason McDonald, second-round pick of the Flames in 2014, Charlottetown Islanders goaltender, just signed his entry-level contract late yesterday. You go to your first NHL training camp in September. What does that do for you in terms of confidence, in terms of just your overall mindset as you go into the season with Charlottetown?
I think it'll be a great confidence booster. The shots, shots at training camp are definitely a lot harder, and the game's a lot different too. The NHL game compared to the Quebec League games. The Quebec League's more of a wide open league, and the NHL is kind of more compact. The defense are better, and there's a lot less scoring chances. But I think it'll definitely help me.
So this past year, when you were around the team and went through development camp and all that, how did that help you going into this past season?
I just think the learning experience of facing those shots and knowing what it's going to take to get to the next level, and just putting it all together and focusing on my junior years of developing and just getting better, and knowing that at some point I can get to that level and and having that goal.
So throughout the year, I'm really curious. I've talked to skaters about this before, in terms of how much contact they're in with the Flames. But what about as a goaltender? How much do you talk to the Flames throughout the season, and who are you talking to?
Yeah, well, Troy Crowder, their player development guy, he came and saw me in Charlottetown quite a few times. He was there watching my games. We went out to grab a bite to eat a few times. And Scott Guthrow, the Adirondack goalie coach, he came up for a week.
Okay.
And he was on the ice helping me. And so quite a bit, I guess.
So how much does that help you? Like, how much does having that communication and being in contact with the team help you as you develop?
I think it helps a lot. When Scott came up for that week, I don't know if it was just a coincidence, but I had two great games that weekend, and I think it helped me going down the stretch, definitely. And when Troy would come, he'd give me advice, and he'd just make me feel good, and it definitely helps.
I know you talked about it a little bit off the hop, but where did you see the most improvement in your game over this past season?
I think of my crease play. I think I didn't wander out of my crease as much as I did in my 16 and 17 year old years. And I think if I play in my crease with the size that I have, like, I can be a really good goalie. And if I keep working at that, you see all the NHL goalies now. That's where most of them play. Dubnyk, Lundqvist, Price. They're all so in control, and they play in their crease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I want to get to.
So, Is there any area that you've pinpointed this summer or going into next year and say, okay, this is an area I really need to improve on?
Yeah, I think I need to improve on my rebound control, definitely.
Okay.
My pushes side to side, being more control, not falling over, and getting stronger. Those are all things I have to work on.
Just a few more with Mason McDonald of the Charlottetown Islanders. Take me back to last summer. You went to the U18 tournament for Team Canada. I know this year you went a little deeper in the playoffs. You were injured, all of that, so it was a little bit different for you this summer. But going back to last summer in that U18 with Team Canada, just tell me about that experience.
That was awesome. Going over to Finland with that group of guys, I played the previous summer at the Ivan Hlinka tournament with quite a few of them, and coming back with them, I knew a lot of them, and they were a great group of guys. And to win a bronze medal, it was a little disappointing because we wanted the gold, but at the same time, it was a great learning experience and really fun.
Well, from an individual perspective, like, your numbers were great. Goals against under .200, your save percentage finishes at .930 in that tournament. From an individual perspective, how much did that do for you?
It gave me a lot of confidence, especially with the draft coming up that year, and I think it helped my draft stock as well. If I didn't play in that tournament, or who knows, I may not have got picked by the Flames, and that tournament might have helped my draft stock and how I ended up here right now.
So now you've got an opportunity to come to World Junior Development Camp out here in Calgary at the beginning of August. So how exciting? I'm really curious as to how a goaltender, how any player kind of approaches a camp like this. How exciting a prospect is that for you?
Yeah, it's really exciting. You grow up watching that tournament on TV, and even last year watching Fucali and Comrie win that gold medal. Yeah, it was really awesome, and I talked to them at the goalie camp last month, and I know Fucali and both of them from camps before, and they both work hard and do everything they can to be better every day, and you kind of model your game after them. the two great goalies. Fucale played great in that tournament last year, and that's kind of what I want to do this year.
So how do you approach that? Like, do you have to make sure that you don't put too much pressure on yourself in a camp like that, or how do you approach it?
I just approach it with the same approach I have for every game. Okay. I have in Charlottetown. I go in with confidence. I've been with Hockey Canada before. I know a lot of the guys going to the camp, so it's going to be comfortable, and I think I have a pretty good shot at it.
And now you're out here, and when do you fly out to Calgary for development camp?
Sunday, yeah.
Okay. You're going to spend a lot of time here over the next few weeks, hey?
Yeah, really.
Well, final question. You went to a D camp last year. What are you anticipating at development camp this year, and anything that you're kind of looking forward to or know what to expect on?
Yeah, I know what to expect with the off-ice fitness testing. There's probably going to be a few scrimmages. And last year we went to the Stampede and did a few fun things. And it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, you're going to go to the you're going to find a way to get to the Stampede again this year?
Well, they took us on the bus last year. So yeah. If it's kind of the same plan as last year, then we'll probably be going.
Nice. Yeah, it just started today, so you're coming at the right time, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the time. Congratulations on the entry-level deal. That's really cool, and I know that it's something that you've been working for, but congratulations just overall on the really good season and the really good campaign, and we'll see you out here in a few days, and have a good rest of your summer, hey?
All right, thank you.
He is Mason McDonald of the Charlottetown Islanders, also a second-round pick of the Calgary Flames. Yesterday, signs his entry-level contract with the Flames. And here's a guy who I know that you go and take a look at those numbers in the queue and you say, geez, I mean, the goals against is over 3. The save percentage is just over 9. A couple things you got to remember. Junior hockey goaltending stats are always, they're always a little bit different. You know, there's more mistakes at every level of the game, like in every facet of the game in junior hockey, there's more mistakes. So it lends itself to more goals, more scoring chances. And for the goaltenders, for a guy like McDonald or Fucale or whomever you're looking at, Chris Drieger, any junior goaltender, you know, their numbers aren't always the greatest. I mean, some of them are, don't get me wrong. Some guys have really, really good junior numbers, but I guess for me, especially in the queue, but in all three of the major junior leagues in this country, I don't put a ton of stock into the numbers just because the game is as different as it is. And to put it into context a little bit more, McDonald did have the second best save percentage in the entire queue this past year. So I know his numbers don't look great, but in terms of comparatively to the rest of the league and historically in the league, had a pretty darn good season, was named the team's MVP, played the fourth most minutes in the queue, and had the second best save percentage. A pretty decent goaltending prospect. And those numbers he put up last year at the U18 were really, really good. And he's getting the invite to the World Junior Camp and this summer development camp legitimately. So he's turned into a pretty interesting prospect. He's still a longer-term project. Like, we're not talking about McDonald knocking on the door for an NHL job here in the next 2 or 3 years, I don't think. I mean, he's going back for another year of junior hockey this year. Potentially, he could go back for his 20-year-old season after that. And then I think probably going to need some seasoning in the pros in the American League or the East Coast League or whatever. But it's turned into a pretty good prospect. And the way the goaltending ladder kind of works right now for the Flames with, you know, obviously Hiller, Ramo, and probably Ortio on that top rung-ish or kind of near the top. I mean, obviously Hiller and Ortio are the top rung in terms of age and development, and Ortio now is kind of right there on a one-way contract. You go down a rung or two to John Gillies, who enters his first year of professional hockey this year, and then you go down a rung or two more, and there's Mason McDonald, the longer-term project. They don't draft a goalie this year. They probably draft a goalie next year, and then you go from there. I like the way it's working. I like the way it's kind of progressing, and I like the stepladder approach the Flames have got right now to their goaltending. Not unlike a lot of other NHL teams, but I think it is pretty important. Development camp starts Monday. We'll have coverage for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Try and get down there as much as we can. We'll be live at the Stampede Grounds. But yeah, scrimmage, I believe the scrimmage is going to be the Thursday, but that's very unofficial at this point. So don't quote me on that. Wait till the actual release comes out, but just like, maybe like early and very light pencil. I believe the scrimmage is on the Thursday. And I think they're only doing one scrimmage this year for development camp. Remember last year, Brad Treliving said, wasn't as big a fan. He was so new that he didn't want to change the structure of development camp last year. But now with a full year of being the general manager, full year plus of being the general manager under his belt, maybe changing the format a little bit of that development camp. So we'll see how it all plays out. Very curious to see the schedule and the slotting and the way it all works once we get that schedule. So development camp starts on Monday. Calgary Stampede is underway today. And later on this month, the Sutter Fund Golf Tournament. Again, the Sutter Fund does such an amazing job for Central Alberta. And the Sutter Fund Golf Tournament is celebrating its 20th annual event this month, July 17th. It's a Friday at the Riverbend Golf Course in Red Deer. If you'd like to donate to a great cause, get involved, maybe get a team in, or just whatever, find out more information, thesutterfund.com is the website, and Sportsnet 960 The Fan is proud to partner with them. Another big trade yesterday. So what does it mean specifically for one side of those trading partners? That's next as Hockey Central at Noon continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Covering Jays, Stamps, PGA, NFL, and more. If it's played in the summer, we talk about it. Proud to serve Calgary sports fans. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Hockey Central at Noon continues, only on Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Got to get out there with them would be amazing. I'd be excited. I feel kind of like getting a candy store, I guess. Playing with that caliber of player.
That is the voice of TJ Oshie, who was traded to the Washington Capitals yesterday. More on that in just a second. But news of the day, two pretty big signings. One of them we have full terms for. The other one we're still waiting on. But after the Columbus Blue Jackets made a big splash prior to free agency, acquiring Brandon Saad from the Chicago Blackhawks, they have now signed the young man to his contract. A reported 6 years at $36 million. Congratulations to Brandon Saad. You just got paid, my friend. $6 million annual average value on that six-year contract extension. Look, I love Saad. He's coming off a career year. He's won two Stanley Cups. You're telling me at a 52-point, and I get it, he's 22, but 52 points in 82 games, and he's getting paid $6 million a year. Yeah. On that scale, I should be getting paid about $1 million a year. And that's no knock on Saad. I say that tongue-in-cheek.
Are you kidding me?
It's a hell of a hockey player. What does Esposito think about Saad's new contract? Oh, you don't have it handy. I thought you always had that one handy. Well, I'll ask it again later. But, I mean, this is clearly paying for what you're going to get. But I understand why Chicago made the trade. Certainly understand why Chicago made the trade now, because they just could not sign Saad to a six-year, $36 million deal. They just couldn't. So they got a pretty decent return. I mean, Marco Dano's a good prospect. Artem Anisimov's a good player. They know Morin. He used to be in the organization. I understand why the Blackhawks made that trade, because, geez, $6 million for Brandon Saad is a lot of money. I get it. Columbus can sign him, and they needed to sign him. They traded for him. I'm not even trying to criticize Columbus. I'm just saying I totally understand why Chicago cut bait. The other player that signs his long-term deal today, we're still waiting on terms for Ryan O'Reilly, the Buffalo Sabres Buffalo Sabres center, who was acquired at the draft. Jeez, it feels like Brian O'Reilly's been a member of the Sabres for a month and a half. He just was traded on Friday of last week, but it's been so busy and so insane that it feels like it was ages ago. But we're still waiting on what the number's going to look like. I would imagine it's probably more than Saad's number in Columbus. I'm guessing O'Reilly's in the 6.5 AAV range, so we'll wait and see when the term comes out. So was that on the air, Will, or should I say what you just said? Okay, but did you say that in my ear, or was that on the air?
No, that was in your ear. I'll just say it now.
Yeah, say it now.
Elliot Friedman reporting yesterday on Tim and Sid that the deal is going to be anywhere from 7-8 in the believe numbers at about 7.4 million annually.
So that's significantly higher than Brandon Saad's numbers. So there you go. That's the situation.
And what he was at, he was at 6.2 last year, I believe.
Yeah, on the final year of his that 2-year deal he signed with Colorado, he was about that. So he's going to get paid and a raise. And look, that's a heck of a player. But I mean, these are some big numbers that are being thrown around right now. And $6 million for Brandon Saad. I like Saad as a player, but has he done anything yet to be a $6 million player? I'm not sure. But you're hoping that that's kind of the way it turns out, and we'll see if it does. So those are the two kind of big news items right now. Saad signed 6-36, still waiting for terms officially on the Ryan O'Reilly signing. As for the TJ Oshie trade, a little surprised that he got traded from St. Louis, but it's pretty clear the Blues are making moves. Here's Oshie on the trade itself.
I thought something would possibly happen in the draft. As a couple of days passed, I just figured that I'd be staying in St. Louis. And got a call from Armstrong today, and my initial reaction was a little bit of shock. If you had asked me last summer, I would have said that I was probably going to retire as a Blue, but it's the business side of things. Things change, and I'm excited for my new start.
So a little surprised to be dealt to the Washington Capitals. I'm not really surprised. Like, I didn't go into yesterday saying, geez, why hasn't TJ Oshie been traded yet? But he was one of the guys that I thought the Blues were going to move this summer at some point, just because you can't have as many playoff disappointments as they've had with as good a core and as good regular seasons as they've had without making real change, without making a move, without actually doing something to shake things up. And we have heard that maybe Oshie and Ken Hitchcock weren't on the same page. We have heard that, Oshie's a guy who's been on the trade block for a little while now. So it just makes sense in that regard that they end up making that deal. And they end up getting a pretty decent return for him too. I'm curious as to a couple of things, though. I still think the Blues make an impact acquisition. I think that they bring in a name, like Troy Brouwer's a good player, all of that, but I think they bring in somebody who's a real impact player here before the summer comes to an end, and I think one or two more longtime Blues are on the way out, too. Oshie's gone. Barrett Jackman is left. Now I wonder about Patrick Berglund. I wonder about, David Backes, his name. He's the captain. I'm a little less convinced that's going to happen, but his name has been out there. And the Blues are certainly, they're not tearing things down. They're shaking things up because they would like to get over that hump that they have not been able to get over. Since returning to the playoffs under Ken Hitchcock, they've won one playoff round, and in round two, they got swept summarily by the Los Angeles Kings. So they were out in round two. Out in round one, out in round one, out in round one. So eventually got to turn around, and they've got to make moves because they're too good. Their regular seasons have been too good to not do that.
Pat, don't want to interrupt, but Elliot Friedman just put Ryan O'Reilly's contract numbers on Twitter.
What do we got?
He said, very interesting. The salary is $1 million per season, but the rest is all signing bonuses of $10 million, $8 million, $7.5 million, $5, $5,
So hold on. Let me go see this tweet myself so I can.
His salary is $1 million per season, and the rest come in as signing bonuses every summer of $10 million, $8 million, $7.5 million.
And then he just gets signing bonuses. Really?
And then Chris Johnston applying or furthering to Elliot's tweet saying it's about escrow protection.
Ah. That's a real crafty way about structuring a contract. In terms of a cap hit, by the way. It's $7.5 million for O'Reilly, but in terms of the actual money he's getting paid, whew, that's an interesting way of structuring it.
That's a weird way to build a contract.
What does Phil Esposito think about that? You didn't.
Bunch of shit that is.
Sorry, say that again, Phil.
What a bunch of shit that is.
What does Lou think about Brandon Saad's contract?
Are you kidding me?
I know it's $6 million a year, Lou. That'll do it, by the way, for this season of Hockey Central at Noon. Want to thank, first of all of our regular guests, specifically Peter Labardius, who is on every single day up until the end of the Flames season. And then, you know, we had a lot of other regulars who came on the show, Roger Millions and then Reed Wilkins. And so want to thank all of the regulars and all of the contributors who came on as much as they did. Hoping to potentially have a new regular guest on. Labardius is going to be back next year, but a new regular guest on a couple of times a week on Hockey Central at noon next year as well. And obviously want to make sure above everything else, thank our two outstanding producers, Will Nault and Josh Humphreys, because they've done an outstanding job on this program. It's a weird time slot for us out here in Calgary to book guests. They do a really good job, and I know that's a little bit of inside baseball talk, but it's a difficult show sometimes to get booked up just because of the change in the time zone and all that type of stuff, but they do a really good job at it. Baseball Central starts on Monday. We'll be back in September with your 2015-16 edition of Hockey Central at noon.
Big what show. A bunch of that is.
The big show starts next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
On the air at 960 on the AM dial. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960. We cover sports all summer long. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.